This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
You guys, welcome to another pop culture kiki episode of Beyond the Blinds. It is me, Troy McKeady.
And Kelly Williams.
We have a lot of shit to talk about this week. There's like kind of a lot going on.
For sure. And they're like all different ends of like the world we like to cover.
Yeah. Where should we even start?
Can we start with Kristen Cavallari?
Are you kidding? Just go off.
So Kristen Cavallari is dating 24-year-old Mark Estes. He's known for being in the Montana Boys TikTok, where they just like cowboys and lip sync, and a lot of people have a lot of thoughts about it. I guess for me, it's like, I don't believe Kristen, you know, like, I don't know if this was meant to be a hookup and then they kind of got spotted by TMZ. I think she kind of had to say they were a couple when maybe they were just hooking up. I've said it once, I've said it a million times. I think Kristen Cavallari is an incredible marketer. Like, there's no reason she should be as famous as she still is.
And I also think that she has an awareness of when she feels like going viral about something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she knew that that was going to go viral. And it did. Like, I think, but she like knew it. Like, I don't think that this is just happening. And you know what I mean? Like, she's really smart.
And she's announcing a new like skincare line for Uncommon James.
Oh, of course she is. So am I, by the way. I'm announcing a new skincare line.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think people should get off her back about the age thing. I get she's a mom of three, if people want to throw that out there. But like, Stephen Coletti's fiance is a decade younger than him. Tom Schwartz is 41, dating like a 23-year-old. Like, can we also get on these men if we're going to get on Kristen about this? Like, Kristen had to put up with Jay fucking Cutler for a decade. She deserves to hook up with a hot 24-year-old.
Also, he's 24. It's really, there's something about like when women, when it's reverse and when it's like an older woman and a younger guy, even if the guy is like approaching 30,
mm-hmm.
like the public will still consider him like a baby or something. Like, it's really weird. I was really, really shocked by how angry people were about the age thing.
Yeah, just like people are crazy. Kristen, if you want to get on Kristen, but like get on her for being anti-vax or something. Like, there's a lot more things you could get on Kristen Cavallari about than like who she's dating.
And it's not serious. Like, it doesn't feel very serious to me.
It's more cringe than anything. So I get like the cringe comments. But yeah. If you think about it, Kristen is stepping into TikTok in a new way. She's mm-hmm. being introduced to younger people, and it's people who are going to buy her jewelry because Uncommon James jewelry tarnishes. Like, it's not great jewelry. It's expensive, like a little higher than costume jewelry for the most part.
Yeah. And like you said, she's, you know, she's trying to wrangle a new generation. You know, she's got a whole new crowd of people that are like discovering who she is. They know her in passing because of stuff from the past. Like, I'd like collect the bag, like do what you have to do. If you can get millions of people talking about you by posting a stupid ass lip syncing TikTok, yeah, girl, go for it.
I agree. Kristen, I still think she's one of the best marketers because, again, between 2007 to what, like 2017, we shouldn't have talked about her as much as we did, but we did and we continue to. So I just give
Yeah.
Kristen like all the props.
Me too. You gotta give it to a woman, a businesswoman. I want to talk about Queer Eye.
Okay.
I took a lot of notes about it too. So one thing that I'm very, very passionate about this week is I don't know if everybody read it, but there was an article that came out, a Rolling Stone expose about Queer Eye, specifically about Jonathan. And it kind of, broke the fourth wall about like everything and that they're not really friends and that none of them really get along and that like, through the years, like they've been forced to kind of hang out and pretend to be these like gal pals and like they don't hang out. They have no relationships outside of the show. They're all vying for attention. They all want to be the most famous person on the show. And it turns out this whole time the villain was Jonathan.
I can't lie, this one hurt me. This one I wasn't expecting. I've always thought that they've been very positive. Even when Bobby left, I was like, it can't be about JVN. Like, it's about Anthony. Anthony's like the one that no one can stand. So I was shocked.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
You were not shocked.
I wasn't, and this is the only reason why. I just have never read Jonathan as genuine.
That's fair.
I just never, but you know me, I don't any person who says their whole personality is like being kind and nice and their entire identity is based around like spreading joy and peace, love, and acceptance. Like I'm just like, I'm sorry. That is bullshit. It hurt me though. Like it really, I was like, damn. And the stuff that, so I took some of the quotes from the article. So this is from Rolling Stone, but it's like all over the place right now. So it says, it's not a news story that a boy band falls apart, says one Queer Eye production member who, like the others, requested anonymity, citing NDAs and career repercussions. He said, essentially, they were a group of people put together in their mid-30s and told to be best friends. But people don't expect that Queer Eye could be that. That's truly what it was, a manufactured boy band with big personalities that certain ones were favored and certain ones were not. And then eventually things turned really toxic. And it says, as Queer Eye got bigger, the quintet grew increasingly competitive over screen time and who had the best sound bites. Production says, as each jockeyed to be the show's biggest star, it was still clear that hairstylist Van Ness was the breakout personality. And that, however, brought another set of issues. Four Queer Eye production sources and three sources who worked with Van Ness said the reality star was terrible to work with, using words like monster, nightmare, and demeaning to describe them. Three people labeled Van Ness as emotionally abusive, having rage issues, and all seven sources said that the star would lash out at crew members and people who worked closely with them. And it says there's a real emotion of fear around them when they get angry. It's almost like a cartoon where it oozes out. The sources who work with Van Ness explain it's intense and scary. During filming, one production source estimated that Van Ness would explode at least once a day. They were a yeller, they said. Van Ness did not reply with multiple requests for comment. And it also says, in stark contrast to Van Ness's public persona, while there is a genuine connection between Van Ness and the heroes is what the production calls the people that they're making over. Six sources, a lot of people, six sources say that they also describe the star's public persona as a charade. Quote, Jonathan's a person who contains multitudes and who has the capacity to be very warm and very charismatic and has the capacity to make you feel really special that they are paying attention to you. One source who worked with Van Ness says, but at least once per day, they would need to yell at somebody. It might be something small, but there's always going to be somebody to point out and blame and make a villain for that day. Van Ness's behavior allegedly contributed to the rift between the Fab Five, with two sources saying it led to certain members of the group, including Burke, reluctant to shoot scenes with Van Ness. it says there was absolutely tension between everybody else, especially from Jonathan. Jonathan didn't want to ever share the spotlight with anyone. There were times when they wouldn't even shoot scenes with certain members of the Fab Five together because it was so bad. And then the last part, it says, Van Ness's alleged two-faced behavior was disappointing. A third production source says, as much good as Jonathan wants to do in the world, I think a lot of it is hypocritical. There's a definite contrast between the principles and the values that Jonathan stands on publicly. Another source who worked with Van Ness explained they're really centered around having this warmth, love, and care for people. There's a real contrast between that and the way that they treat people who are closest to them. It's the opposite of what the person is touted and paid to be. That's really damaging.
I'm curious to see how they respond, or if. I mean, they can't not respond.
I also feel like Bobby was the first person to leave and have it be like known that they weren't happy, that they weren't really friends and that they weren't getting along and that the cast was like kind of miserable. And obviously the meme since the first season has been like, you know, Bobby does all this work and like Anthony teaches somebody how to roll pepperoni with cheese and then goes home. And Bobby is like ripping down walls and like building new houses and shit for these people. And I guess like they actually, I wrote it down. It says, unbeknownst to Bobby, at some point castmates France and with alleged support from Porosky campaigned to replace him with another interior designer, Jeremiah Brent, who was actually just hired officially and will be on the upcoming season. So they openly strong-armed him out of the show, and he said it was mean girl antics.
I mean, if you watched the show, you know that they did not like Bobby. Like, Bobby was, like, the redheaded stepchild of that crew. And I always did think, like, as much as I like Jonathan, there were times where I didn't think it was genuine, right? Yeah. But then they say things like, you're strong, you're a Kelly Clarkson song, and I am right back in it.
No, it's true. And Bobby really was treated like the redheaded stepchild. And Bobby even said that like he was edited out of most of the show. He's the only cast member who barely appears on the show, but does the most work. So I would have probably been like, fuck you guys too.
And it's funny, like, if you guys aren't aware, Karamo was on Real World Philadelphia and was not very well liked on that season. Like, had you written this about, like, Karamo or even Anthony, I'd be like, for sure. But, like, this one, I know it's true, but this one's a little harder to digest.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I remember when we talked about when it was just alleged that there were, like, issues with the group, I remember saying, like, it has to be Karamo. Mm-hmm. There's no way that it's not, because without naming people, I know people who are close to Karamo and also close to Karamo's like management, who represents him. And it's like a known thing that Karamo's like really like a mess and like will be going around telling people publicly that he's like a licensed therapist and like, you know, really scaring the production because he would just like lie and about stuff. But no, it's crazy. So it's the end of an era. I mean, they're coming back and doing like a Vegas season or whatever. I haven't watched the show in years, to be honest. No.
The last episode I actually remember watching was this woman who had like a dog care business, a dog grooming truck. That's the last episode I really remember.
And to be fair, they also said in the article that like queer people don't really watch. Queer people watch the show, but they're not passionate about it. The people that Queer Eye was really for is like middle American, like moms and shit, or like maybe some like Utah mom that has a kid that's gay and like it'll change her perspective, you know? Like gays aren't gathering around to watch Queer Eye together like they do Drag Race.
It's like propaganda to make straight people accept gay people.
Yeah, in a very like Lizzo kind of way, like safe, you know, Target era kind of vibes. Like pride, cool floaty vibes is Queer Eye to me.
Oh, I want to talk about Kate Middleton again because we got kind of, I got kind of dragged a little bit by not taking it serious that she was in the hospital and like in the public eye or out of the public eye. And I agree. I think that I, unfortunately, when you like some things on Twitter, that's all you get served. So I liked like two tweets being like, where's Kate Middleton? Got in my head. And last night when those pictures were released, I had an edible and I decided it wasn't Kate. I would like to.
What weird.
I would like to clear the air. I do think it's Kate. I don't think it's Pippa. A lot of people think it's AI. I mean, it's photographed by Backgrid. Like, there's a lot. I almost wish they never showed that picture because now more people are talking. Do you know what I mean? Like, more people are examining. And I've seen the side-by-sides. I've seen people being like, her mole's not there. Honestly, I know people who have to take, like, steroids. Their face gets very bloated. That's kind of what I thought. Like, it's Kate with like a little bit more weight on her face because we're not used to seeing that. But I think the royal family should have just not done that.
What did they, what did she have? What was she doing again? Like, she was like getting surgery.
Yeah. They said that she needed a specific kind of stomach surgery that took, that would take a long time to heal, which I'm sure stomach injuries take a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like the royal family is really struggling right now.
Well, as somebody who has no fucking idea what's going on and doesn't care, the picture was wild to me. I'll be honest. As an outsider, the picture was just uncanny. That's what I'll say.
Like, they made sure it was so blurry, but like there's technology to make that not blurry.
Right. Like, Target has better cameras.
Yeah, so I think the royals probably would have been better off just like not giving it even an ounce of thought. And they did put out a statement being like, we said she's not going to be seen till Easter. We mean it. And then like 2 days later, they're like, actually, here she is. And everyone's like, is that Pippa?
Also, I was, when I saw the picture, I was like thinking of her just having to be like, God damn it. Like, fuck. Okay, I'll go outside. You know, like, fuck.
Yeah, and there are so many pictures of Kate driving where, like, it's crystal clear.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting, again, watching the royals, like, squirm.
Yeah, I mean, and they responded, like, very fast. It was like, here's a picture. So it's really quick. So you guys have heard me complain about Balenciaga in the past. Like, I literally fucking hate this brand. And I hate what it represents. I hate what it's become. There was a time when Balenciaga was like a respectable fashion house, like in the 90s, early 2000s. But now it is a mockery. And I don't even know where to begin. So Balenciaga just had a show that like kind of blew up on the internet. All these famous people were there. Lisa Rinna wore like a camping sleeping bag coat. I mean, and her daughter was there with the big giant shoulders. And like, it's just like, that brand to me is, I think that Balenciaga like mocks people. I think that they basically are just laughing in their customer's face. I think that they make fun of their customer. I think they mock their customer. And I think that they push to see what they can get away with and what they can convince insecure people to spend lots of money on, whether it be a dress that's just a bunch of bras and underwear stapled together, or jeans wrapped around your neck that are supposed to be a shirt. Just dumb, uninventive bullshit. Like, I really think that they make fun of their customer. And even with their runway shows, like the show that they had a few years ago of people like walking through like a tundra carrying like a Balenciaga trash bag and like walking through mud. I'm just like, they're trolling you. They are trolling you. They're trolling these fucking influencers. They're like, what can we get these people to buy? And then they do it. And I think what's even more shocking is like the celebrities who feel comfortable supporting Balenciaga so soon after we decided that we weren't fucking with them anymore. There are a lot of things that we have dropped the ball on when it comes to holding the Kardashians accountable. But I will say, And I understand that there are contracts involved and there are things that Kim is required to do, but Kim Kardashian still being up Balenciaga's ass is so fucking insane to me. And the fact that we just allow it and nobody asks her anything about it, no interviewer asks her about it really. She's made like one statement about it and she was still wearing Balenciaga the whole time after. She was just doing it in like more subtle ways. And now she's fully back in the Balenciaga camp. And it's just so like it's just gross to me. And also, they make her look like a fucking idiot. Aren't you sick of looking stupid, Kim? Whether it's being wrapped in fucking caution tape that they got from Walmart or wearing stupid ass fucking sunglasses that wrap around her whole head that she doesn't even know how to put on while she's being photographed. You look dumb. You look stupid. And it's not even like it's worth the fashion. Like the fashion isn't even good enough to be attached to it. It's just like really obnoxious and insulting to me. And I'm so fucking over it. I don't want to see any more Balenciaga posts. We're doing exactly what they want us to do, which is be outraged about their dumb fucking clothes and then post them and make them go viral. And that's exactly what happens. And I'm just sick of it. I think the greatest thing would be the next Balenciaga show. Nobody talks about it. Like, I would love to see Kim out there by herself looking to be photographed in latex and nobody cares.
How did they come back from all of those allegations, like all the child porn allegations?
They honestly just like kind of powered through. Like, they just didn't really deal with it. Like, they just pretended that it didn't happen and they convinced enough famous people to still be photographed wearing it and to show up to the show. You know, thank God for Lisa Rinna to be so fucking fame hungry and to be so like willing and ready to pimp out her fucking daughters. You know, people like her, and I don't know, it's just crazy. But the show was a mess. The clothes are hideous. And fuck Balenciaga.
I really quickly, I know we talk about sports documentaries a lot on this, and The Dynasty on Apple Plus is so good. I am a Patriots fan. It's about the Patriots, obviously. But the way that they talk about like Spygate and the controversies that have followed the Patriots for like their dynasty is so interesting. In this past week, they released two episodes on Aaron Hernandez. And it was actually stuff that like I had never heard of, because I've watched pretty much every documentary on that man. And they talked about how he went to Coach Belichick. He asked to be traded to the West Coast to like get away from drugs. He's like, the only way I'll be safe is if you send me to the Seahawks. They also talked about during the rookie combine, I want to say it's called, so a wide receiver, I can't remember who, came in to speak and be like, you know, you're about to get a lot of money. You can lose it very easily. People in your life are going to try and take it. You know, if you're on a bad path now, get off of it as soon as possible. And Aaron Hernandez actually stood up and he was like, well, like, how do you get out of using drugs?
Oh my God.
Like, there, it was a lot darker, I think, than people can even imagine. And the Patriots knew a lot more. Like, they talk about how every player would be like, don't go out with Chico, which means don't go out with Aaron Hernandez because it's going to be bad. At one point, he was apparently wearing like flip-flops on the sideline of a practice, calling Bill Belichick daddy.
Okay.
And Bill Belichick and Tom Brady will not speak about Aaron Hernandez. So you hear like Dion Branch was his job was to check in on Aaron Hernandez. Like they lived across the street from each other. And if Aaron had a bad day, Coach Belichick would be like, Dion, go across the street, make sure he's good. Dion, calm him down. Like Dion Branch, who was one of the best wide receivers on the Patriots, his other job was taking care of Aaron Hernandez.
That is wild.
It is so good. It is such a good documentary. And even if you hate the Patriots, it'll probably make you hate them more because, like, they admit to certain things that they got in trouble for. Like, I don't know.
Well, and even, I mean, I'm obviously don't give a shit about sports, but I would watch that just for the Aaron Hernandez of it all.
And at the beginning, it's wild. So it's just Aaron, and he's posing for, like, you know, when they introduce players, there's like a video of them. And at first they're like, okay, be tough. And he's crossing his arms and walking forward. Then they're like, smile. And he does his big smile. I'm like, Aaron Hernandez was so good looking. And he was so like, his smile was so charming. It's a really good watch, even just for those two episodes.
He was really like just aesthetically kind of like the dream athlete, because you can look at him and see him on a Wheaties box, you know?
Absolutely. And he would just like, honestly, if Bill Belichick was like, get a touchdown, he would figure out how to get a touchdown.
That is wild. Maybe you'll get me to watch a sports documentary. Crazier thing. Pigs have flown. Crazier things have happened. Should we talk about the Cyrus family?
Listen, I need an Iron Claw version of the Carters and the Cyrus family.
I don't even know what to say. I guess just for people, there are maybe people who have not been following this. So Cosmo, I actually took a couple quotes from Cosmo because they did a really good job of explaining like the timeline of it all. So they basically said at this particular moment, it seems like publicly Miley is very team Tish and then Noah is team achy breaky heart. Like, and they're like kind of not trying to hide it. Like Miley snubbed her dad at the Grammys. She didn't thank him or say anything about him. And then we know that like during Tish's wedding, like Noah posted that picture online, like wearing her dad's shirt, and it seemed like shade. So these are all quotes from Cosmo. It says, Noah was seeing Dominic when Tish started pursuing him, adding Tish was, quote, aware of the situation and that turmoil between Noah and Tish goes far beyond what people think, which is immediately where my mind went. I was like, this is. Like, we've not really heard Tish talk this much. Now she's talking, and this feels like some shit that's been going on for a very long time to me.
I mean, there were blind items that came out right when Tish got married, saying like the Dominic was sleeping with a daughter, but everyone thought it was Brandy. Or
Yeah.
like they didn't think it was true, first of all, but if it was to be true, it would be Brandy.
Yeah, and she also just went on Call Her Daddy, which was like a good interview. And she said in that interview that they met via DM. And I don't know. I don't know if she's purposely made sure to like state that. So I don't know, but like it doesn't add up. And then there's an Us Weekly quote where they said, or it says Us Weekly also spoke to a source who said that Noah and Tish haven't spoken since the whole thing happened with Dominic, and that Tish is spiraling out of control, trying to figure out how to defuse the situation. According to this person, Noah and Dominic were dating for about 8 to 9 months, but were having issues. And then Daily Mail said, however, that they spoke to an anonymous insider who claimed, quote, Noah never actually dated Dominic and that they were not together. She is delusional to think otherwise and is trying to create a narrative that will paint her as a victim. The source emphasized that Noah was not invited to Tish's wedding and she would not have come even if she was. Tish wanted a peaceful wedding and did not want Noah to create a scene. Noah has always craved attention because she did not get it growing up. Like, this is so toxic. Tish was always so Miley-sided because that is where the money was. And the source continues that Miley and Tish are like sisters. Noah has always been envious of that because she has never had a connection with her mother like her sister has.
I need to say, I cannot imagine being Miley Cyrus's little sister. Like, that cannot be an easy role to play. I don't even know what to say about this. First of all, Dominic, if true, why is a 50-something-year-old dating a 20-something-year-old? And that's different than the Kristen and the 24-year-old. Let me just clarify that. I need to hear Annalyn McCord's opinion before I make any opinion of my own
On most things.
on anything in life.
I mean, I will say that to me, like, that is so, like, I don't know, like the wording of that, of like Tish always craves, or Noah craves attention and Tish didn't want drama. That's like so toxic. And like, we've all heard that toxic jargon from a parent that has like an unusual relationship with their kids. Like they're more friends than anything. Like you're not going to invite your kid to your wedding because they would basically steal your spotlight.
Yeah, it all just seems weird, like to say the least. But it's also weird how nobody's like debunking it immediately. Like you would think Miley would be like, guys, this is fucking crazy. Let's be real. But no one is saying a goddamn thing.
And of course, they had to add at the end of the article, and for what it is worth, a source told People that Miley has had no idea about the drama with Dominic, no idea at all. She confronted her mom about it. She thinks that it's a strange situation, but loves her mom and just wants to see her happy. I'm
Did
like,
Tish write that?
no, like literally, it sounds like the source is Tish.
Right. Yeah, this is like I said, I think it's insane. No one has tried to debunk this. Literally, the whole family's staying silent. Very fucking gross and weird. And Noah, I don't blame you for not talking to Tish if. I mean, in general, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with not talking to a parent if they're not parenting you well. But yeah, Noah, just keep doing you because what the fuck?
It's kind of giving Hogan. And this is, coming from someone who's a big supporter of the Hogan family. No shade, but it is like Hogan style drama with like more money.
I could definitely see. What's is her mom Lisa? Is it Lisa Hogan?
Yes, I believe so.
I could see Lisa Hogan being like, Brooke, he's mine.
Yeah,
Or
totally. Like,
she dated someone who looked like her fucking son. I forgot about that.
yeah. And it was like their friend.
Was her son's like buddy.
Yeah. So yeah, it's giving Hogan. I guess we'll see what happens, but and then Tish and Brandy have a podcast now called Sorry We're Stoned. And Tish is really leaning into the I love weed, I love pot. She just did an interview the other day where she was like, I would have been a better mom my entire life if I was smoking weed the whole time. I'm like, let's not go crazy. Let's not go as somebody who smokes weed every day, let's not go nuts.
Listen, you think you're so edgy because you stole your daughter's boyfriend.
Right.
Now is a good time to let you know that this episode is sponsored by Thrive. So, as you guys know, I've been on a non-alcohol journey and I'm learning what like being healthy means to me. For me, I have to stop like eating out. I need to stop going out to dinner. I need to stop spending money frivolously. I need to just like take care of my wallet and my body better. Thrive Market is my go-to for all of my grocery and household essentials, and the convenience of getting everything online, then quickly shipped to my doorstep is a huge time saver. I love that Thrive Market carries brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. They restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories, and I can use their on-site filters to suit my lifestyle needs. Whether you're looking for organic kids snacks, low sugar alternatives, or gluten-free pantry essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with just a few clicks. So for me, I actually love their cleaning stuff. I live in an apartment. My bathroom doesn't have any windows. So using things with like harsh chemicals just doesn't work for me. They have more organic cleaning items that I really appreciate, and it does not stink up my bathroom, which I appreciate. And as a Thrive Market member, I save money on every single grocery order. On average, I save over 30% each time. They even have a deals page that changes daily and always has some of my favorite brands. When you join Thrive Market, you're also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give. Join in on the savings with Thrive Market today and get 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. Go to thrivemarket.com/blinds for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. That's Thrive market.com/blinds, thrivemarket.com/blinds.
This week's episode is also sponsored by Factor. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. Pancakes, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Sign up and save. We've done the math, and Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. I know for myself, unless something is convenient, I will make a poor decision. I will make a poor, unhealthy choice. So if it's easier than like picking up my phone and spending a bunch of money on food that is terrible for me, I'll do it. And this is easier and also not terrible for you and very healthy and dietitian approved and restaurant quality. Head to factormeals.com/blinds50 and use code blinds50 to get 50% off. That's code blinds50 at factormeals.com/blinds50 to get 50% off. This week's episode is also sponsored by Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe and luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes that I love. I just bought a new duffel bag from Quince. It is leather. It is worn in. The leather is like soft. It feels like when you buy like a new leather thing and you know like it's going to be years until it feels good. This actually came that way. Like it feels kind of worn in and like vintage. It's really cool. And yeah, I love it. And it's also a crossbody, which I'm a big fan of. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/blinds for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/blinds to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/blinds.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios in Wondery comes the competition.
Host Shima Olieyi was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks of 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after?
Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Did you get the TMZ alert about Sister Wives?
No.
So trigger warning, Sister Wives star Janelle Brown's son Garrison dead at 25 after apparent suicide.
Oh my God. Holy shit.
How heartbreaking.
Oh, poor Janelle. Oh my God, that is crazy. I'm in shock. I don't even know what to say.
Honestly, just like thoughts to to Janelle and that whole family because they've been through so much publicly too. Like, this is heartbreaking.
Oh, it's especially sad because Janelle was like, after basically her entire life kind of like not finding her way, she was like just doing it. That is so sad. Holy shit, that really rattled me.
Want to talk about something a little bit lighter, maybe?
Yeah, I would love to.
So this is just like One Tree Hill fighting. Basically, right now, Bethany Joy Lenz, she goes by Joy, her and Hillary Burton are allegedly fighting, and One Tree Hill fans are trying to figure out why. I made a TikTok about it because I need to know why. And basically, Joy announced a book, and Troy, I sent you over the pictures of like her cover and Hillary's cover. So originally, Joy posted a book and it's called Dinner for Vampires. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be her talking about being in a cult while also being on One Tree Hill. So she's always said, you know, she's been really far removed from the cast just because she married someone who was in a cult, wasn't really allowed to have a life outside of that other than working. So the other day, Hillary Burton on her story posted, "I don't think imitation is the highest form of flattery. I think it's annoying," which is a pink quote. So a lot of people thought Hillary was mad because the covers look similar.
Okay.
I would love your feedback, Troy, because I think a lot of people have covers like this.
Yeah. It's a very, it's cool. I'm not saying like this in a bad way, but it's like it didn't reinvent the wheel.
No. Okay. So I think Hillary got wind of this and people being like, is she really mad at Joy for a book cover? Because they no longer follow each other. And all the pictures that Joy was tagged in on Hillary's page now untagged. So people are thinking Hillary has now blocked Joy over this. So then Hillary posted in her story a photo of the non-binary student Nex Benedict, who, as we know, lost their lives at public school, and the school kind of did nothing about it, tried to cover it up. She posted that saying, "This is where I draw the line on friendship." So now everyone's saying, well, Joy is more conservative. She follows very conservative pages. Is she also anti-LGBT?
Oh, Lord God.
So this is like a lot. One Tree Hill fans, we got no drama during the season, but 20 years later. Now, Joy has been more vocal about being conservative, but she was like anti-Trump. She's been anti like a lot of things that kind of fall under that umbrella. So people are kind of just trying to figure out like what is going on and will their podcast Drama Queens continue? I haven't listened to Drama Queens in a long time, but we, on our Stoner episode, I remember we got a few questions being like, is there drama behind the scenes of Drama Queens? Sounds like there is. I'm curious to see how they go forward because I don't know if Hillary and Joy will record together anymore. Lately, it's been like Sophia and Joy or Sophia and Hillary. Recently, there was a Joy Hillary and Hillary episode with like another guest, but Sophia Bush is the first person to jump on like activism and speak out about it. She hasn't said anything about this situation, which makes me think it's more about a book cover. Cause I genuinely think Sophia Bush would be the first to be like, no, I don't like Joy either because of these views, but she would like name the person.
Well, I mean, now that I'm looking at them back and forth, like over and over, they are like very similar.
And they're also like a little mystical, like the titles. Like I could definitely see it, but it's also not like, Hillary, you didn't invent this.
Yeah. And it's in my opinion, it's like kind of a weird thing to be so upset about.
Right. And also from what I heard on TikTok comments, so take it for what you will, like authors don't have a ton of input into the cover. It's all the publishers.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, it's a framed photo of the author on the front page of the book. Like neither of them are the first gal to go about it this way. Like it's a little, come on now.
I know. So I genuinely think she was mad about the book cover, but then people were like, "Hillary, you didn't invent this style of book cover." So she decided to also throw that in. But I guess we shall see with these two.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do with the with their show.
I know, and I think they're about to get into season 6 or 7 on the show, and Hillary's not in season 7. So maybe they'll just be like, and Hillary's no longer joining us.
Moving on.
But it is kind of sad because they originally started the podcast because on set they were so like put against each other and they wanted to like reclaim their friendship and reclaim. I'm like, maybe you guys were never meant to be friends.
Yeah, maybe the universe just works out how it's going to, no matter what. Speaking of the universe working out how it's going to, no matter what, Luann de Lesseps is allegedly dating Olivier Sarkovy, who you may know from being Mary Kate Olsen's gargantuous ex-husband, who is 9 feet tall and a brute caveman-looking individual. This is so random. Especially like Luann is just like really on one right now. Like she's really, really, really feeling her oats. She's arguably looks the best she's ever looked at this moment. And I feel like because Luann knows now that everybody knows that she likes to fuck, and like she doesn't have to even kind of pretend to not be that girl that like wants to get fucked in a public bathroom. Now she's just like on one.
I mean, we watched her work her magic on Joe Bradley from Southern Hospitality.
God, I know. And then the thing with Danielle, Southern Charm, and her fucking. It's a lot.
Luann, they could never make me hate you.
Not in a million.
She's another one who, in my opinion, is one of the best reality stars because she pretends she's in on the joke, but I don't think she is.
Yes. For sure. It's like there's enough unawareness there for it to just like always be entertaining.
Like the talent show on what was it? Shitty Creek, Schitt's Lake.
Shitty Creek. Call it that.
Crappy Lake. When like Sonya's like doing it like she's laughing, and Luann's like, this is not a joking fucking matter.
Yeah. She really is like, I'm the diva. I'm the diva that Beyonce sings about in some of her songs. Yeah, it's crazy. And you know, he's a billionaire, so he's right up her alley. He's got the yacht, rooting for her. I never thought that I would have to talk about this man ever again. Like, unless it's about the picture of him at that basketball game with Mary Kate.
Do you think they smoke cigarettes together or have they moved to vaping?
Well, Luann does love a vape, but she still loves a cigarette. I've actually heard her talk about this recently. She loves a cigarette with alcohol, which is relatable to anyone who has smoked. But she's also a vape girl. Luann's just, she's DTF. She loves to smoke. She loves to drink. She's hot. Like, she's like in her bag right now.
Bravo's it, girl.
Speaking of Bravo, should we talk about all of the craziness?
Let's just jump into it, Troy. Where would you like to start?
Well, should we start with Brittany and Jax?
Yeah, because I'd love to know what you think. At first, I thought it was all fake. I'm a little bit more sold because I don't know if Brittany could be a good actress, first of all. But she keeps talking about Cruz. She keeps talking about their son. And I don't know. I don't think that highly of Jackson Brittany, but I don't think Brittany would just throw her son's name out there just to do it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I get that. I agree with that. You know, their relationship has been doomed since the moment they met. They chose to continue dating, even though every seeing and hearing person around them would have told them it probably wasn't the best idea. And like, in the long run, they had, you know, a child together. So thank God they stuck it out, because like, obviously that human being was meant to be. But like, I'm shocked they've been together this long. And I also was thinking about like, you know, them leaving TV, being removed from TV, whatever you want to call it, and then filming their lives again. I wonder how much that affected them, like allowing cameras back into their lives when like their relationship on television was so tumultuous. And then it was like fine and chill. And then they got right back into it. Like, I don't know. I just wonder how much that like had to do with it.
But also, Jax has a sports bar now. Jax is gonna be like there right when he announced he was opening a sports bar. I think both of us were like, oh, he's gonna cheat. They're not gonna last.
Forgot about the sports bar. Rooting for them.
If it is for PR, I'm still not watching The Valley.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it.
I can't watch 40-year-old adult for the first time.
No. And I can't watch a show where Brittany is the lead. I barely could do it when she was like kind of the lead on Vanderpump, and it really aged me. I can't do it. I can't subject myself to it again. I think what I don't like about her the most is just like her not owning who she really is. And also just like, I don't know. I personally, and I know that this is like easier said than done, but I'm like, if you really don't care that somebody cheated on you, I used to say this about Luann, because Luann didn't really care that Tom cheated. She cared that he humiliated her. But at the same time, Luann wasn't really the girl who would like put on like such an intense production about like I'm mad at him. Maybe a little bit, but like the way Brittany would drag everybody into their drama, she's that girl that like everybody's in it with her, you know, like, but it's like this is performative. Like you kind of don't even fucking care that he cheats. You gotta know. Come on. But rooting for them.
Lala announced that she's pregnant with baby number two. She's pregnant with baby number two from a sperm donor. The second person she told was Stassi. So you know Sheena said to Brock, like, we're not using protection anymore.
I know Sheena woke up in a cold sweat, shivering.
And happy for Lala. I mean, I don't really have anything else to add to that, but I have to say, Sheena is unraveling at like warp speed at the moment. I don't know if you've seen back to back to back interviews of her being like, I've never been the cool girl. I've never been the most liked. And like, I'm okay with that.
How are you, Sheena? Yeah, I'm excited for Lala. She seems like a really great mom, like ridiculously good mom, and I'm excited for her. But yeah, I agree with you. I think Sheena is probably like, we got to figure this out.
I don't know. I think it's kind of nice that like her mom helps her so much. Like it seems like they actually have like a good relationship and as some like Lala and her mom. And as someone who's had like an up and down relationship, it is nice to see two people actually like seemingly get along.
You're talking about Lala and her mom? Okay, because you know it also applies for Sheena, whose mother lives in her home at the moment, it seems. No, I agree. And I think that her and her mom's relationship seems really sweet and
Yeah.
legit.
What do you think of Sheena and Brock after these last few episodes of Vanderpump?
I think this is just my opinion. Obviously, I'm not in their relationship, but I feel like their relationship is one of those ones where, post having a child, they have to rediscover who they are for each other. Like, they basically have to like reintroduce themselves because she's such a different person now. And she's not like the hot, hard-bodied, we're carefree, child-free, let's get drunk all day and smoke weed all day and have sex. Like she's not that Sheena now. She's like a woman. You know what I mean? And I feel like that was a lot for him. I feel like he is incapable of like understanding the complexities of what she's going through, like her obsessive compulsive and stuff.
Oh, totally. And when he wanted them to like get a random nanny for their weekend away, I'm like, are you shocked that Brock is like fine with leaving his kids with like a random person? Like, did that not occur that that might be a thing as you like continue to be with this man who left his children?
I know, and we talked about this a little bit in our happy hour from last week, and we had talked about how like some people were saying that they thought it was weird that Sheena's mom is like so involved, and then some people were saying that they didn't think it was weird at all. If I were Brock, I will be honest. It would really bother me that her mom is like telling us what to do and like is like basically his sister wife, kind of. You know, but also at the same time, like there are people who would kill for that opportunity to have like their grandmother be so involved. Like not everybody has that. And like, I don't know. I think it's cool.
I agree. And it's not like these people go out to work, right? They don't go out to like jobs and stuff. So like, yeah, it's free childcare.
It's free childcare. And she's obsessed with her. And like, I don't know. Worse things can be happening than you not being able to go out all the time because your newborn kid is like, well, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. But I don't know if I believe that they'll like make it.
No, no. They're setting us up for a divorce.
Yeah, for sure. Which is, you know, always rooting for Sheena.
Before we talk Andy, I know you said you're not currently caught up with Summer House, but I just need to say I've been a Lindsay defender for a very long time. I still am team Lindsay for a lot of stuff that's happened like past summers, but this season they're definitely editing her the way that Paige has talked about her at reunions. Like she walks in, she's rude to West immediately, and West is like a new fan favorite. She's complaining about how their room is going to be hot. And then one thing I hate about Summer House is they don't have cameras in the car. Like at this point, stick a fucking GoPro in there like they do with Janelle Evans when she's driving. Like stick anything in there. But they apparently her and Carl got in a fight on the way to the bar. Lindsay was wasted on the way to the bar. And then when she came home, she's with Gabby. And she starts being like, he doesn't seem sober to me. He hasn't spoken to me like this since More Life Carl, since Cocaine Carl. And Gabby goes, I don't know. He sounded pretty sober to me.
I've never thought about the fact that they don't film together in the car. I've never thought about that.
They don't film the cast going to the car, barely in the like, clubs, because I guess like the Hamptons don't want camp, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But even when they come back, like Kyle posts pictures of them all eating McDonald's. I'm like, that's what we want to see.
Absolutely. It's our favorite thing about the show. Yeah, they only really show them in the car, like heading to the house from the city. That's like the car moment, which even that is like fun. Like I love listening to them talk about like what to expect and stuff when they go back or like what they did for the weekend when they weren't there. But you're right. They don't really do like, we're wasted leaving, you know, Nantucket, whatever fucking restaurant. That's crazy.
And now I'm kind of like, before I make a super harsh decision, I need to see that Lyft footage.
Yeah. Oh God. Well, you know what? I will say I'm also a big Lindsay girl because I just think she's a great reality star, but I do think it's the edit at this point is so ridiculous that even the public, I think, is aware that, like, that's not Lindsay. Like, what we're seeing is not representative of, like, how the cast feels about her, you know? It feels forced. So, you know, as a Paige supporter and apologist, hardcore, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm interested to see it play out. I know that I would be Danielle being like, I told you last summer.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, Lindsay and Danielle, are they talking?
They're talking a little bit. I know now they're like best friends again, but they're like talking here and there. It's not as ice cold, but definitely not what it was before.
That was a really weird Summer House season to get through.
For sure. Cara Berry tweeted, she was like, Vanderpump and Summer House can't be good at the same time.
That's so funny. That is so true. That's hilarious. Is it so true? Speaking of Bravo, we have to talk about Andy getting sued 80,000 times. I don't even know what to say about this because it's the way that it's all playing out publicly is so strange to me.
I think it's really strange to have like these housewives being like, well, I didn't do cocaine with Andy. Well, I didn't. It's like, I genuinely think when it comes to Bravo, we have to start talking about the drug use on the station, on the shows. Yeah. Like Carl has talked about being on coke before. Like It's been, I've seen some Real Housewives of New York episodes where they're just like running back and forth from the bathroom. Like it should be talked about. And I know everyone's making jokes being like, Andy Cohen, of course he's doing coke with housewives. It's like, he's still the boss. You know, it still like muddies the water a lot.
You know, the response has been very, I'm going to say, in my opinion, kind of disappointing. Because it's so like, you can love Andy and love Bravo and love the shows. I love it. I love Andy. I love the network. I don't want to see anything happen to Housewives or to the network or to Andy. I don't want Andy to not work at Bravo. Like, I think him not working there would be the downfall of that network because he's the thing that holds all of it together, you know? But at the same time, like, you can also just say that that's not right and that your boss shouldn't be playing favorites and then offering his favorites cocaine. And that's just the stuff that we know. I mean, like, we always say, like, obviously the stuff that's being reported is like 2% of what these people have really witnessed and engaged in with him, and they're not going there yet. But like, you know that he's trying to fuck all the talent, trying to fuck every hot guy on all those shows. Kathy Griffin told us forever ago during the pandemic that he used to take her into his office and offer her cocaine. That was like a normal thing. And for all the housewives that are like, well, he never did it with me. He plays favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Openly. He has favorites. And that was like a part of what, as much as people don't like Leah, and I get it, and she's like not always a reliable source, but she did say like he has housewives that he hangs out with, that he parties with. He has housewives that he talks about sex with and relationships with and whatever. There are housewives that he's just cordial with. Like Brandy said that she's never ever hung out with him outside of filming and doing Watch What Happens Live. But like, you know, Carol Radswell wouldn't have the same experience because they vacation together, you know? So he does play favorites and he does do these things. It's undeniable. And it's okay to just say it's wrong, but also I don't want him to get fired. Like, I don't want Andy to leave Bravo. I don't.
I don't think there would be anything wrong with putting out a statement being like, we're looking into these things. Until then, Andy's like taking classes or like, you know, take off Watch What Happens Live for a week. Like, just do something, because as much as we talk about coke, we know a lot of Hollywood does it. Like, if your boss is like dangling that kind of in front of you and being like, we don't know what's being said. You know what I mean? And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with being like, no, it is fucked up that this boss of this major fucking network who's attached to basically every show. Yeah, he shouldn't be doing that with the talent.
Yeah. And I also honestly feel like a lot of people, especially Bravo people, can't look past. And I am also like this because I made this mistake when I was talking about Caroline Manzo. So I'm not judging. I'm just saying, like, from what I've seen, it's like you do kind of have to be able to look past your opinions of a housewife to like take all of this stuff in. And I'm not the biggest Leah fan, but like, I believe what she said. Like, I don't think she's lying. I don't love her as a housewife, but I also don't think she's lying. And I think even though Brandi Glanville is a mess, like, I think she's allowed to say that she felt uncomfortable with something. Like, you're allowed to have that feeling.
Do you almost wish like a different housewife said it?
Yeah, it couldn't have been a worse person, really, at the end of the day, to be like, he's inappropriate. It's like, well, you are hanging on by a fucking thread. So I don't know if you're the best person to like be at the front of this. But I mean, I don't even know who I would. It's like, we've tried, like, he's too much of a narcissist and a self-absorbed psychopath to, like, really lead the charge because it has to be about her. Nene tried to do it, but Nene is also an unreliable source. I mean, we've had all these different attempts at different housewives to try and, you know, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But what I do know is that you can't just keep getting sued. Like, right? Eventually something is going to happen. He can't just keep getting sued and then go on Sirius XM in the morning and be like, oh, it was all a misunderstanding and I sent her a text. It's like, you can't keep doing that.
Right. And even that like FaceTime phone call, it was actually Kate Chastain that was with him. I'm like, no matter who it was, that's still like inappropriate.
It's like weird. He's their boss.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like the lines have just been so blurred at Bravo for so long that now it's like the network kind of hinges on Andy being like their buddy and their friend, and like so
Yeah.
now what do you do, you know?
I don't think you can give someone their own show and also have them run shows.
Right, yeah.
Like,
Yeah, and have them be as obsessed with being famous as Andy Cohen is.
Is that all for Bravo?
I think so.
I want to talk about Justin Bieber and Hailey really quick.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this happened like right after we recorded, but Victor Marx, who I said was Justin and Hailey's minister with a question mark because I wasn't sure. I don't know if he just is like a Tony Robbins and gives speech. Like, even looking at his website, I'm not sure what he is other than he survived child abuse and was a Marine. Those are like facts that I know about this man.
Okay.
So he posted a video of Justin singing and he wrote, "Christians, please, when you think of Justin and Haley, take a moment to offer a little prayer for them to have wisdom, protection, and to draw close to the Lord." So he then added a caption saying, "I seldom like to post about certain folks in the limelight because of negative comments we get. Eileen and Haley's mom pray often together for J and H and our children as well. There are special challenges that folks in high visibility positions face, and also the enemy doesn't want them to draw closer to Jesus. So often, regardless of the material things or the accolades, they often face spiritual warfare that intense and seeks to shipwreck their faith, marriage, and life in general." So on our comments, a lot of it is speculating like maybe they're having trouble getting pregnant, maybe there was a miscarriage, maybe Justin's back on drugs, maybe there's a divorce. The craziest thing that I've seen circulating online is people think this was about the Diddy stuff that's coming out.
To me, it doesn't sound like that's what is being alluded to.
And then the night that or day this was posted, the next day, Justin and Haley, definitely paparazzi were called. There was a picture of them, and Justin just looks like so bad again.
That's the thing is like anything that people speculate about what it could be, like Justin is so tortured and tormented, and like I don't know, I just don't think that we would ever even be able to wrap our heads around like how actually fucked up he really is, like what she probably sees in their home, especially with her being so passive and you know boys will be boys about everything that he does. Like I don't know, I don't know if we could ever like speculate the correct answer.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, my first thought was divorce, to be honest, but yeah, I can't imagine that that's like a calm household to live in because of the secrets that Justin and probably Haley, she is a Baldwin, the stuff that she's seen.
She emphasis on she is a Baldwin.
Oh.
Hello. And her dad is the craziest Baldwin, which is insane.
He makes Alec look good.
Yeah, like it's like crazy. But no, I mean, my thought, like my first thought, of course, was like divorce. Like I just thought, like, oh, she's finally like sick of his bullshit, you know? But I don't know. Like I said, I just think that like he's such a trauma-based person. Like God only fucking knows, you know?
Totally. I totally agree with you. And I wish that their ministers, pastors, whoever is in their church, stop posting their fucking business, even though I like to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, if they are going through something, I promise you posting it on Instagram isn't going to help with the prayers.
You know, it's not like I don't, obviously, of course, I know that they're like super religious and stuff, but it's not till I hear things like that where I'm like, oh, they're like really locked into the faith. Like they're scary.
Should I read Haley's Halloween post again?
Please.
I mean, all these people are kind of just using them for their own clout. And I'm like, if you guys really like, I am not a religious person, but I do think religion helps people. But there's got to be a better spot for you guys to go. There's got to be a better way to do this.
And he should not live in LA.
No, he should move back to Canada or like middle of like Oklahoma.
But he really needs to live somewhere that he can just walk around outside in his basketball shorts, sitting under his ass, and just be free. And, you know, LA just seems so toxic for somebody like him.
Oh, totally. And yeah, I mean, I don't think this is about the Diddy thing, and I just wanted to like reiterate that.
Well, speaking of the Diddy thing, Meek Mill just crashed his car. And I saw this girl, this TikTok. Okay, her name on TikTok is just TC. Oh, it's her name, TikTok name is T Dog. We slide on the ops. DAWG. Okay. She posted this fucking hysterical TikTok about how Meek Mill is such an idiot. Like, he's so dumb that he'll be the last person to put together that Diddy probably fucking cut his brakes or did some crazy shit to his car. Because what are the odds that you like get in a car for the first time and the what did the brake just like come off the fucking car or something?
I actually did not even think of that.
She was like, obviously Diddy's trying to kill you.
Oh my
He's like, hello, he blew up Kid Cudi's car. Like, hello. But no, that the whole thing is just insane. And I have to be honest, and this is even coming from two people who read blind items that speculate about sexuality all the time. There's something, though, about when it happens in hip hop. When it happens in the black community, there is this tinge of like, we're gonna get you. We are going to get you. That was suspect. Look how limp his wrist was. And then it starts getting weird and homophobic and weird. Like, oh, he wore a glittery belt one day. Obviously, I've been telling you guys he's gay. Blah, 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 blah. Now, do I believe that Diddy and Meek Mill had a relationship? Yes, I do. Look no further than the video of him swimming and Diddy saying, you got it, daddy. Proud of you, daddy. I mean, like, yeah. I believe that there's some sexual tension there. But like, I don't know. People are on a, the internet is on a wild goose chase right now, trying to find all of Meek Mill's gayest, most suspect moments, if you will. And it's just crazy to me.
I agree. And it also like just like takes away from the abuse that Meek Mill likely had with Diddy.
Hello.
Like, that's one thing that I don't like. And even with the Usher stuff, everyone's like, ooh, Usher, you know he was calling Diddy daddy. I'm like, if you guys actually like took a moment to even listen to Usher's Howard Stern interview, like you might not be making jokes.
Right, like you're talking about a 13-year-old. Like, hello. And yeah, I agree. It makes it, it's the reason why things like this have always been able to exist in Hollywood, but then people can like easily ignore it, pretend it doesn't happen, or like, I don't know, it just goes over their heads because it's a joke to everybody. And it's like, what about Diddy being a rapist and a possible murderer and all of these things and a child molester and all these things is like memeable, but Harvey Weinstein wasn't. Though it's very odd to me. Like, people really love to make jokes about all this Diddy shit. Like, anything that you look at online that has comments about Diddy, they're jokes. Like, it's people joking about it, making fun of it, making fun of Meek Mill. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, making fun of Usher. I'm like, it's because these are black men. And you just can't fucking deal with it. These are black men and you just cannot wrap your head around it. So it has to be a joke.
I cannot wait. I hope Diddy gets locked away forever, man. Like, I know that we don't have much faith in that happening, but like, he's gotta go.
He needs to go. And I didn't get to go through all of it, so I'm gonna wait until next week when I actually read the whole thing. But I've been reading the like 40-page court document and just like taking notes from it, and it's just so much worse than I ever even could have imagined that it was.
Well, I'll read it too and take notes so we can have like an actual discussion on like the I might not know what legal terms are, but I'll do my best.
Yeah. I'll send it to you. It's just like he's Tony Soprano, like, and I've said that before jokingly, but he really is just like a mob, like he's a gangster, like he's a straight up murdering gangster for real. Like, it's crazy.
Well, now that we left you with that little fun little tidbit, this episode has been definitely heavier than I expected.
Yeah, this was a lot. I mean, I can't get over Janelle's son. Like, I'm just like in shock right now, but yeah.
If you guys come to a live show, there will be more laughs than this because we try. Actually, we pulled Diddy for New York, so maybe we should like stop pretending we try not to make it super dark.
Listen, it is dark, but most people are really drunk and it ends up being fun anyway.
And we can't wait to see you guys on the road. Just a reminder, all of our tickets, the link is in our Instagram bio. And also make sure to stream us on Spotify.
And we love you very, very, very much. Thank you for listening to another Kiki.